Thank you for joining us at Fellowship Church. The following is a message from Pastor Anthony. For additional information, check us out at fellowshipsalem.com.
Okay, so let's get into our series today. It's called Mythbusters. And we're going to be looking at this for 3 weeks, just looking about what are some myths that we have in our culture today that we need to bust according to the Word of God. And so with that being said, I wanted to show you something real briefly. How many of you remember these? Okay, if you didn't wear these in the last 3 weeks, like, you really missed out. I felt so bad for Carrie Johnson, one of our board members, and Ladina Doherty, our pastor of operations, and Bridget Bratlin, our kids director. They were in the Philippines. They missed the eclipse. And I felt so bad for them because we all shared that together. But these things we all wore. Now, if you did not put these things on a couple of weeks ago on August 21st, you were not able to see the eclipse as you're supposed to have been able to see it. How many of you loved that footage of President Donald Trump just like, oh, look at this? It's like, they're like, no, you could go blind, man. And lots of political jokes we can make, but let's keep going. If you didn't look through these glasses, you wouldn't have been able to see the right thing. How many of you have ever worn glasses that look a lot like this that you wear at movie theaters? They're 3D glasses. Now, if you put these on in a movie theater, the 3D glasses, you can see things in 3D. I think the best 3D movie I've ever seen was probably The Life of Pi. It was probably done the best. There are some others that haven't done a very good job. But there's something about those 3D movies that when you take off the glasses, what does things look like? Blurry, totally blurry. I always feel bad bringing little kids to 3D movies because they'll get tired of wearing the glasses and they want to take them off. Like, you're not even seeing the movie anymore. Our precious friends and neighbors who are here today, the Larises, their daughter, Sonia, we got to witness the eclipse with them this last couple of weeks. And their daughter, she is 2, and so she watched the eclipse like this. And we're like, you're totally missing the point that the sun is up there. And so if you're looking through the wrong lens, you miss out on seeing what you're supposed to see. And so I say that just to have you keep that thing in your mind. How many of you this last year have heard this term? It's a new term that we use, especially on social media, especially in the news. And that term is called fake news. Fake news is the most annoying term that I'm tired of hearing. And basically what's taken place, as your pastor in this church is apolitical. We are not a political church. Your pastor is not a Republican. Your pastor is not a Democrat. My kingdom is Jesus' kingdom. That's what I'm passionate about. But basically the Democratic Party will say everything that the Republicans have reported is fake news. And the Republican Party will say everything the Democratic Party has reported is fake news. And we have said and used this word way too many times over the last year. And I'm tired of it. But fake news is no new thing. There is fake news that's existed for thousands of years. And fake news before, we've just simply called it legend. We have called fake news fish tales, lore, superstition, old wives' tales, gossip, and myth. These are the things that we have called fake news over millennia. And the thing about fake news and the thing about myth is that if these things end up not being true, which many of these things end up not being true, despite the fact that they are untrue, they go on being believed for centuries by groups of people. And oftentimes people hold these fake news, these myths, these lores, these legends to be absolute fact, and they believe these things as such. And here's a couple examples of things that maybe some people in society have believed which were way wrong and out of the ordinary. For example, did you know that the world used to be flat? And that was the firmly held belief amongst people in our world. I've listened to a 2-hour podcast this week from people who think the world still is flat. I don't think that they're right. Slavery used to be acceptable in the eyes of many across the world. Smoking was good for you at one time. Any of you remember a time when smoking was good for you? I was looking at a mural in New York City online this week that still exists. It's faded away, and it says, heal your throat, take a smoke. And it's like, no, don't do that. And so smoking used to actually be good for you. Women used to be seen as property. Women, that's not true, is it? The sun used to revolve around the earth. A vast number of Germans actually believed in the cause of Adolf Hitler. We could go on and on and on of things that were way wrong, things that were evil, things that were stupid, and they were just simply not true. Now, one thing I'm fascinated about is I love history. Is like, why would people ever fall for these things? Why would people ever believe to follow such a lunatic? And really, here's the bottom line. These people did not wake up one day and say, I know the world is round, but I want to believe that it's flat. People did not wake up one day and say, I know Adolf Hitler is crazy, an evil maniac, but I want to follow him. That's not how history works, is it? You see, what happened is that these people did not have all the facts. These people were not presented with the truth, and they weren't looking at the world through the right lenses. And so this is the big idea for our message today. I'll give away the big idea. If you don't look through the right lens, you don't see things clearly. Sometimes if you don't look through the right lens, you stay in the dark and you don't see the truth. A long time ago, when I was 10 years old, my parents thought it would be a good idea to take me to the eye doctor. Now, they were 10 years too late, by the way. But I went to the eye doctor at 10 years old, and I can remember going to the eye doctor, and I remember leaving this eye doctor's appointment, and I thought to myself, like, my life is over. Glasses are only for geeks. Glasses are only for nerds. If I wear glasses, someone might have the audacity to actually call me names like Four Eyes. And so I was terrified of wearing glasses and what people would think about me. Little did I know I was a hipster because I was wearing glasses before glasses were even cool, because now they're cool, by the way. And some people wear glasses that don't even have prescriptions because they want to look that cool. Don't be that person. And so I was terrified of wearing glasses. And I thought it was a horrible thing until I put them on. And so I can remember getting in the car and driving home, and I remember the intersection I was at. I was on the intersection of Hawthorne and Sunnyview. If you live in Salem and if you've been here a while, you know that intersection. And I put on the glasses, and no joke, this is what I said. What is that on the windshield? And my parents were like, what do you mean? I'm like, there's dots on the windshield. It looks like water. And they're like, those are raindrops. Now, no joking at all. I had never seen a raindrop before. And I had heard rain hit the windshield of the car. I had seen a blur go back and forth on the windshield to know that there were windshield wipers, but I didn't know what raindrops looked like. Why? I wasn't looking through the right lens. I literally did not see them. I remember driving by a tree. It was nighttime, and there was a street light shining onto a tree that was in front of us. And I actually remember thinking, what are those specks of green on the tree? That was my exact thought. And then I realized that what I was seeing, those dots, those specks of green on the tree, those were leaves. I had never seen leaves before. I literally thought that trees were big, blurry, green, blah. I didn't know. But there were actually leaves on those trees. And then I remember there was this oblique red sign that I always saw, that this red blur that was on the corners of streets. And I always wondered what this red sign was, but I remember when I had the correct lenses on, it said stop. And I was able to read what I was seeing. I'm going to call someone up on stage with me. Dean Yeager, come on up. Be my friend on stage. Give Dean a hand. Are you in here? I know you're here. So I want to have Dean prove that my eyesight is really bad. So you can see generally what's going on right now?
Almost.
Okay. So try this. It's bad. It's bad. Dean would be able to do nothing with these on. So you can confirm my eyesight's really bad.
Horrible.
Horrible eyesight. Okay. Thank you, Dean. Give him a hand. Kim, come up here real quick. Well, no, you already got bad eyesight. Forget you. Adam, come up here for a second. Yours is worse than mine. We'll try later on. So, Adam, try these on real quick and see. Like, this is really super bad. And now, these are the thinnest lenses that money can... These are the thinnest lenses that money can buy. Is my eyesight horrible? Yeah, okay. It's bad. Have a seat. Give Adam a hand. So, here's the deal. They just saw this with, we're assuming they have 20/20 vision right now. When they looked at my glasses, what they saw was not as bad as what I see when I'm wearing contacts. And like, my eyesight is, it's bad. I can't see a thing. And so the problem was, I didn't wake up one morning as an 8-year-old boy and think, you know, today I want to see the world less clearly. Today I don't want to be able to see the truth. The problem was, is that I was looking through the wrong lenses, or I didn't even look through the right lens at all. One more example, because I really want to drive this idea home. About 3 years ago, my wife and I had the opportunity to go to Moab, Utah. Anybody ever been to Moab before? Moab is, I believe, the most beautiful place I've ever been in my life. I've been all over different places in our country and the world, but Moab was my favorite trip I've ever taken. And my wife and I had decided when we went to Moab that we wanted to go watch a romantic sunset at the Delicate Arch. Now, if you don't know what the Delicate Arch is, if you've ever seen a license plate from Utah, it is the arch that's on that license plate. Now, the Delicate Arch, you can't really see it from the road. You have to hike probably about 2 miles to be able to see it. And the hike to get there is on this giant rock slab mountain. And so there's really no gravel or dirt or trail. It's just this giant rock you've got to walk on and rise in elevation to get there. And on this particular trail to see the Delicate Arch, there are cairns. Does anybody know what a cairn is? I know Dean was just up here. He knows what a cairn is. Am I saying it right? Cairn. Okay, so a cairn is a stack of rocks, like a pyramid. And what happens is that hikers will put these cairns on a trail so you know kind of where to stay within the line so you're staying on the trail. Now, the reason why these are so important for the Delicate Arch Trail is because there's sheer cliffs on each side of you, well over 100 feet tall, that if you were to fall off, you wouldn't see the Delicate Arch. You're done. You're dead. And so these cairns are very important. So you know you're staying on the trail, even though there's not a trail. And so we started to head up the trail to Delicate Arch, but we noticed that there were hundreds of people going the other direction. And that's when we realized that the sun had already set. And there was still beautiful pink twilight in the sky. All of the rocks around us were glowing red, but we kept trekking on and on and on until we finally got to the Delicate Arch and there was no one there. Pretty romantic, right? Not, because my wife is pretty ticked off at this point. Because by the time we got to this particular place, it was dark. And the sun had already set, and there was no one left to go down the trail with us. And being the prepared people we are, we didn't have a flashlight, we didn't have extra water, we didn't have food. It was very hot, even though it was dark out. There were rattlesnakes, there was all sorts of perilous cliffs. And so we had to walk 2 miles back in the dark without a flashlight. And the problem is there wasn't a trail to follow, and we had to see these cairns, but it was so dark we couldn't see the cairns. And our batteries on our phones, because we were so well prepared, they were almost dead, and so the flashlights didn't have much. And so I told my wife to wait in one spot, and she was so loving and understanding. And I was doing these big circles around her and just kind of calling to make sure I could know where she was. So as I made these circles, I could figure out where the cairns were, and I would keep moving myself back so that way I could triangulate the position, hoping I wouldn't fall off of a cliff. Thank God we found a cairn, and we were able to eventually, after a couple of hours, get back down, get to our car, and she's still thrilled with me about this to this day. And the point is that if we would have had some high-powered flashlights, it wouldn't have been a problem. In fact, something that would have been a little bit better, if we would have had night vision goggles, that would have even been greater because we could have looked through the lens of night vision goggles to be able to see the truth that was all around us. And so again, without looking through the right lens, you can't see the truth. And when you can't see the truth, you fall for the myth. And when you fall for the myth, you walk in darkness. And when you walk in darkness, walking in darkness causes you to miss out on what's around you. It causes you to not be able to live life to the fullest. And it causes you to miss out on the joy and the purpose and the fulfillment that you were made for. Essentially, if you are looking through the wrong lens, you walk in your life in slavery or in bondage. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." So when are you truly a disciple of Jesus? When? When? When you abide in my word. Jesus says, when you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And then you will know the truth. And here's this verse we love to quote. And the truth will do what? Set you free. He says, they answered him, we are offspring of Abraham, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son, that's Jesus, God the Son, Jesus Christ, the Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So Jesus tells us something very specific. He says, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free from slavery to sin. And the darkness that comes with it, you will be freed from it if you abide by my word. And so it matters which lens you see the world through. And so Jesus tells us here inexplicably, he just says, if you want to see the world truthfully, if you want to see the world clearly, if you want to see the world plainly, if you don't want to walk in darkness, if you don't want to walk in bondage, you need to see the world through my word. And when you see the world through the word of God, you are able to see the world more clearly. And so when you look through the lens of truth, you'll be able to have your path illuminated. When you look through the lens of truth, you will be able to see the truth around you. When you look through the lens of truth, when you put on the right lenses, the right glasses, it will direct you where to go. And I love Psalms 119. We just finished a long series on the life of David. And David writes in Psalms 119, talking to God, he says, your word is a lamp to my feet. Your word is a light unto my path. And because I happen to be a pastor and many of you happen to be Christians and I am a Christian, oftentimes when the world knows that we know and serve and love Jesus, whether they do or not, people come up to you as Christians and they say, will you pray that God reveals his will for my life? Will you pray that God will illuminate my path? Will you pray that I have divine direction on where to go? And if I'm feeling rather truthful when people ask me that question, yes, I want to pray for them, but the real question is, are you in God's word? Because if you're not in God's word, you'll never know his will. If you're not in God's word, you'll never know his ways. If you're not in God's word, your path will never be illuminated. You're never going to be able to see things truthfully and clearly because you're not looking through the right lens. Did you know that the Bible says that you can't even put your faith in Jesus without the word of truth, without looking through the lens? Romans chapter 10. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the words of who? Christ. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the words of Christ. That means I can't even put my faith in Jesus Christ unless I have heard the good news about Jesus Christ, which God gives me through his word. And so when I have God's word and his good news presented to me, when his spirit works within me, it convicts me of my sin. It shows me my need for a savior. It points me to Jesus as the solution. And God's word itself is that which gives me faith to even be able to trust in Jesus to begin with. And so you can't even see truthfully the most important thing in your life unless you are looking through the lens of truth, which is the word of God. So are you looking at the world through the lens of truth? The events of this world, the attitudes of this world? Are you looking at the world's accepted behavior, the world's accepted attitudes through the lens of truth, or are you looking at the world through the lens of how the world wants you to see them? Because it really matters how you see things. When you see things through the lens of truth, only then can you be free. If you see things through the lens of truth, only then will you see clearly to walk in the ways that God has prepared for you. I'm going to backtrack for a second before we wrap this up. Back when I was 10, remember, I did not want to wear these. And I didn't want to wear them because they were uncomfortable, they were cumbersome, and the real reason I didn't want to wear these was I was afraid of what people would think about me. I was afraid of what people would say about me. I was afraid of my reputation if I were to wear these. Now, how is all this relevant to the Word of God in the lens of the Word of truth? It's relevant because as Christians, oftentimes, you are not going to be liked for seeing things through the Word of God. You're not going to be accepted for seeing things the way that God sees things. You, in fact, Jesus said, will be persecuted if you see things according to the ways that God wants you to see them. And so when we ask ourselves all of these different questions, how should we see the world? How should we interact with the world? How should we use our resources? How should we act with our bodies? How should we act in relationships? The world has answers for all of those things. So does God. God has answers for all of those things. And while wearing glasses may be uncomfortable, and while wearing glasses may not be the popular thing to do, and you might get made fun of for wearing these, here's what I learned. It was far greater to see things clearly than it was to be accepted by the world. I would rather see things as they really, truly are. I would rather walk with my path illuminated by looking at things through these glasses than I would just simply not being teased or made fun of or feeling uncomfortable. And the exact same thing goes for following the ways of truth. But some of you who confess to know Jesus and who have put your faith in Christ, who've been saved by him, some of you walk around in the world and you think, God saved me, his grace has got me, but I really want to fit in. I want to fit in at work. I want to fit in at school. I want to fit in when I go to Thanksgiving dinner at my family's house. I want to fit in at the parties I go to. And so when people start talking about the way they view the world, I just want to kind of nod my head and agree, because if I agree and if I choose to see the world the same way, then people will like and accept me. And so as Christians, oftentimes we do that very thing because we are so ashamed of Jesus. But Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father when I return with all my angels. And so, who are you worried about offending? Are you worried about offending this world? Or are you worried about offending the Son of God who has died for your sins? Romans chapter 12. Here the Holy Spirit is leading a man named Paul to write this letter to Christians in Rome. And by proxy, it's a letter to us as Christians today. And many of you, if you've been following Scripture or the Bible, or if you know Jesus, you know this verse. It says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to how the world sees things. Don't look at the world the way the world wants you to see things. Don't be conformed to this world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here we learn that to have your mind renewed is to look at the world through the Word of God. It's to look at the world through the lens of truth. And so here the Spirit tells us, as he's using Paul to give us this message, he says, when you do this by testing, you will be able to discern what is the will of God. You will be able to discern what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. So the Bible tells us, if we don't look at the world through the Word, we'll never know God's will. If we don't look at the world through the Word, we'll never know what's good. If we don't look at the world through the Word, we'll never know what's acceptable in God's eyes. If we don't look at the world through the Word, we'll never know what is perfect. So what's our response, church? Here's our response as a church, as Christians. Let's look through the lens of the Word of God, so that we can know what is good, acceptable, and perfect, and so that we can know what God's will is. And so despite what the world says, let's keep seeing the world God's way through God's Word. Instead of conforming to the ways of this world, let's let our minds be transformed by the Word. Now, some churches would make this real easy and say, cool, we're done. Let's pray. Let's go home. It's not this simple. Because when you look at the world today, it's a very fuzzy place. The world is a very dark and broken place. And the world has all sorts of ways that it wants us to think and it wants us to see that are in exact opposition to the Word of God. And so, again, we could be the feel-good church that goes home and eats lunch and wants to feel good the rest of the week, but we have to confront something here. The world's ways are opposed to God's ways. I was talking with a Christian a couple of weeks ago, and this particular Christian friend of mine was talking about a family member of theirs that was involved in some things that were just wrong according to God's word. Involved in some things that were sinful, that were evil, that they should not be involved in. And when I was talking to this friend who's a Christian, my friend was trying to justify their relative. Was trying to basically say, well, if it's good for them, it's good. And the exact words of my friend were, at least they're happy. And so this is how the world wants us to think, by the way. The world wants us to look through the lens of, at least you're happy. At least it feels good. How many of you know using meth feels good? It does. It doesn't mean it's good. Something might feel good, but it's very much not good. Take a smoke and heal your throat. No. Like, yeah, smoking feels good, especially if you're addicted to it and if you crave it and if you love it, but we all just acknowledge it's not good for you. And so the same falls in line here. Be careful, church. Be careful when you're around your un-Christian friends. Be careful when you're out in the world. When they're talking about seeing the world through the world's eyes, don't say, yeah, that's cool. At least you're happy. You see, God's put us in this world to be a light. And you can't be a light in this world if you're too weak to even confront the ways of this world. Where the Bible says, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As Christians, we don't have the chance just to sit idly by and let the world pass us by. As Christians, what we've been called to do is make a difference. This week, I was talking with several young men that I mentor, and I reminded all of them, as I was reminding myself, hey, you may think that you want to fit into this world. You think that you need to fit in, but God didn't call you to fit in. God called you to stand out. And so as believers, as followers of Jesus, the world won't really respect us unless we stand out. The world won't really respect us unless we choose to be a light and we choose to go against the grain of the world's truth by going according to the word of truth. And man, I was frustrated by so many things this week. I don't want to make a statement about a particular church or a pastor, But everybody who was on social media this week saw Joel Osteen and Lakewood Church blasted in Houston for not opening the doors of their building. You all saw that, and if you didn't, you missed out on some stuff you're lucky you missed out on, actually. But here's what I learned from that situation. Whether or not you like Joel Osteen or not, this is not what I'm here to talk about. What I learned is that, this is awesome, the world expects the church to be a light. The world craves the church being a light. The world wants the church to be a light. And so whether it's true or not, it's for you to investigate. It's not for me to judge. But whether it's true or not, when the world saw that someone who claims to follow the word did not with his and his church's actions follow the word according to how the world saw it, the world was up in arms. Now, on the flip side, I think if Osteen would have opened his doors up, I think that they would have found a way to bash that too, by the way. Like, why is the church doing this? But that's besides the point. The world expects the church to rise when the occasion presents itself. And here's the deal. Every day, the occasion presents itself. Every day, those around you want you to rise to the occasion. Every day, the world expects you to be a light. And so, when the world would say, and when you might ask as a Christian, should I sleep with my girlfriend? Should I move in with my boyfriend before we're married? Should I cheat on my wife? Should I have sex as often as I want with whomever I want, whenever I want, however I want? These are the questions we ask, right? They are. Well, you might say, not me, but these are the questions we ask. And so the answer, according to the lens of the word of truth, is no. The word of truth. The lens that I see the world through tells me that sexual activity outside of marriage is a sin against God and against my own body. And so I may go against the ways of this world, but I'm going to choose to see things according to the word of truth. Again, I'd love to be a feel-good church that sends you home happy and feeling good, but there's other bigger issues here going on. The world is telling us, every single place you look, everywhere you go, the world says, okay, homosexuality is something that needs to be celebrated. It needs to be not just accepted, it needs to be really the forefront of everything that we talk about. The world that we live in would say, it doesn't really matter what gender is. Gender is something that mankind has made up, and there really is no gender. That's a social construct that you can form it and do whatever you would like with it. The world around you tells us that abortion is good and godly, and that if you are for abortion, then you're for women. Let's make some more friends real quick. I went to a gas station like every day this week to buy energy drinks. And let's just be truthful. And when I went into the, every day I've gone in, there was a sign on the door of this particular gas station. And I feel like doing this, so give me a second. Here's what it said. I took a picture because it was so good. Oregon has become the fifth state to raise the legal age to buy cigarettes to 21. Governor Kate Brown, a Democrat, signed the bill into law earlier this month. It bars the sale of tobacco products to people younger than 21, effective January 1st, 2018. Here's what I thought. Oregon, your body, you're right, except for smoking. Get it? You hear what I just said? Your body, you're right, but not smoking. Smoking is evil, but murdering babies is good and godly. And in fact, we want to provide them free to anyone who can't even smoke cigarettes can go kill their baby. Yeah, it's not popular. This is how the world wants you to see things. The world wants you to see things according to the ways of the world, according to the lens of the world. But God has called us, church, to see things according to His Word. God has called us to see things through the lens of truth. So does my diet and exercise matter? Does it matter how I spend my money? Does it matter how I treat my spouse? Does it matter how I raise my kids? Does it matter how I think about my enemies? Does it matter all of these things? And the answer is, yeah, it matters a lot. And God's word talks about all of these things. And you can either choose to see things through a lens that you're not going to be able to see. When Dean put my glasses on, he couldn't see a thing. And when you choose to put the glasses of the world on your eyes, you're not going to see the truth and you will miss out. And the truth will not set you free. But if you choose to put on the glasses, the lens of the word of truth, I promise you, church, no matter how difficult it may seem in this world, you will see the truth if you look through the word. Your path will be illuminated. You will know what is good and perfect and acceptable. And God will carry you through if you choose to look through His word. So do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to see the world through the word of truth. Very last thing. Thank God I don't wear glasses anymore very often. When I was 13, I upgraded to contacts. How many of you are contacts people? Contacts are super annoying, but also I prefer them. I could start a war. Contacts, glasses. I'm a contacts guy. And so every morning I put my contacts in. And because I put my contacts in every morning, I am able to see the truth of the world around me. It's got to be the same for you. You have to consume, know, and meditate on the Word of God daily if you ever want to see the world for the truth that God has put in front of us. And if you don't, you're going to miss out on so much. So many of you come to church on a weekend because it's the religious thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It makes you feel good. And so you're like, one day a week for 90 minutes, I'm going to wear my glasses. But the rest of the week, I'm going to go throughout the world blind. So some of you come here to get fed the Word of God. Let me just be the first to tell you, as the pastor of this church, I'm not here to feed you the Word of God. That's your job, to feed on the Word of God. It's my job to equip you for the work of the ministry. So when we gather here today, if you're following Jesus, you need to be in the Word throughout the week. So when we're coming together, this is a pep rally. And if you're here and if you don't know Jesus, then yes, please let us feed you the Word of God and let us show you how to eat. And let us get a Bible in your hand and let us show you how to read it. Because when you're looking at the Word daily, then you'll be able to see the world for how it truly is. And so don't come to church like you're wearing glasses once a week for 90 minutes. Instead, wear your glasses all week long by meditating on the Word of God. Like David said, your Word, God, have I hid in my heart so that I will not sin against you. So that's what I have for you today as we open up this series, Mythbusters. Next week, I'd encourage you, make sure you're here. We're going to talk about Mormonism. We're going to talk about our JW door knockers. We're going to talk about cults is what we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about how do we look at cults according to the Word of God? And does what we believe about God and about Jesus actually matter? That's what we're going to talk about next week. And then our third week of this series, we're going to look at, okay, how do Americans see Christianity? Like American Christians, how do we see ourselves and how is that different than biblical Christianity? It's going to be a great series. And I hope that you're here every single week. As we prepare to give of tithes and offerings and partake in communion, minister to each other, and sing to celebrate the goodness of God, I want to show you a few things, if I may. Hal, if you could turn on the Apple TV, I want to show people a couple things. If you're watching online, please pay attention to this as well. If you're using the YouVersion Bible app, what I'm going to show you is there already. There are links to some websites I want to show you. And what I want to show you is this. Never mind, it's not working. It didn't work last night either, so I'll show you a different way. If you can go back to ProPresenter, we'll show you on ProPresenter how some things I want to show you, and then you can look at these things, write these things down. I'm going to show you, look at YouVersion, and I can show you how you can engage in these things throughout the week in order to feed yourself on the Word of God even greater. And so I'm going to give you a couple tools that you can use to feed on the Word of God throughout your week. And the first tool is this. There is a website that is called BibleGateway.com. BibleGateway.com, on this particular website, you can read the Bible in every translation that is trusted and available online. You can read the Bible in any language available online. But one of the greatest things on Bible Gateway that I want to refer you to is something that is called a keyword search. And on BibleGateway.com, you can go use a keyword search and you can look up any topic that you want to look up at the Bible. So we talked about sex, for example. You could say, what does the Bible have to say about sex? And you can type in the word sex and you can look and see, what does God's word say and how am I supposed to see the world through the word of truth? So that's one tool I want to show you, BibleGateway.com. Another tool I want to point to you is amazing. It's a super, super simple website, but it's called openbible.info. It's that one on the very bottom. Openbible.info, on this particular website, I use this every single week in sermon preparation, but there's this amazing topical resource on openbible.info, and you can go to topic, and you can type in anything you can imagine. What does the Bible say about? You can type in, for example, what does the Bible say about how I should treat my employees? And when you go on to that, because that was something I looked at for a message I prepared a couple months ago, what does the Bible say about how I treat my employees? The awesome thing about this website is that it is user-submitted. And so that means that people submit verses that they have found helpful for that particular topic, but not only is it user-submitted, but it's also crowdsourced so that you can vote on whether or not it's helpful. So, for example, if you type in, what should I think about my sexuality in openbible.info? And if it brings up the verse from the Old Testament that says you should not cook a baby goat in its mother's milk, and you're like, I don't think that has anything to do with sexuality, you can actually say not helpful, and it will eliminate that so people don't see it in the future. Does that make sense? It is amazingly helpful. And I have never put a topic into openbible.info that I haven't gotten a vast number of great resources for to study God's word more deeply. So BibleGateway.com, openbible.info, And then third, the top left. How many of you have ever heard of something called the Bible Project before? The Bible Project is amazing. It is made by a collaborative group of ministers in Portland who have made one of the best websites about the Bible you will ever find. And in this particular website, they have made videos for almost, I believe now, every book of the Bible, every broad topic of the Bible, every broad teaching concept of the Bible, made with beautiful animation that's very short videos that tell you what you need to know about a book of the Bible before you read it. And I'm telling you, it's the best that's out there. And so this year, as you begin to consume God's Word, meditate on God's Word, and practice God's Word, these are some tools I would love for you to take part in, especially the Bible Project, and you will learn so much about God's Word this year and where we're going as a church that's going to be very important. One more, the Holy Bible. Now, this app that I have a picture of up here, it's actually called YouVersion, is the name of YouVersion. They call it Holy Bible. So if you have an Apple iPhone, and if you go to the App Store and if you type in Bible, that's going to be the first app that shows up. You can just type in simply YouVersion, or if you use the other phone, you can go to the Google Play Store. I don't know who would, but you go to the Google Play Store, and you can type in Bible, and then look for YouVersion as well. YouVersion is helpful, again, because it's at your fingertips. It's immediate. You can save translations to your phone if you don't have signal. You can look and read every trusted translation within evangelical Christianity. You can read every language. If you want to learn some languages, listen to the Bible in other languages. It is awesome. And one thing that we do as a church is every week we put an event in YouVersion so you can follow along all the passages of Scripture we read in order, and in YouVersion right now it has all these websites I just talked about. So today we have fed you. We have taught you how to fish. We've talked about some controversial things, and we have told you once again, if you look at the world through the wrong lens, you will not be able to see clearly. You will be in the dark. But if you look at the world through the word of truth, the lens of God's word, your path will be illuminated. You will know what the will of God is. You will know what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. Your word says it is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. You, Jesus, said your word is truth. So God, may we know the truth and may the truth set us free. Lord, I pray that when we abide in your word, we would know that we are truly your disciples. So God, this year as we go into a year of wanting to know the Bible, to walk according to the Bible, to meditate on the Bible, I pray you would open our hearts and give us a hunger for your word like we have never had before, that we would look at the world through the right lens of your word. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'd love to just have you focus on my words for just a moment with no one looking around. We do this church thing for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We do this all for Jesus. And here's the truth. Here's the truth of God's word. God created you in his image. You've sinned against God. That has separated you from the relationship with God you were supposed to have. But God loved you so much, it was not his desire that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So he sent his one and only son, God the Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life in your place that you could never live, to die on the cross, taking your place for your sins, taking all the punishment for your sins upon himself. So he lived for you, he died for you, but he did not stay dead. In fact, 3 days later, he rose from the grave. So Jesus arose from the grave, and by doing so, he forever defeated Satan, sin, hell, and death. So here's the good news. If you're watching online, if you're in-house this morning, here's the good news. That by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, your sins can be forgiven. Your relationship with God can be restored. And you can be given everlasting life in Christ. And the beautiful part about that good news is you can't earn it. Church attendance doesn't give it to you. religion will not save you. A pastor cannot make you a Christian. Here's the good news. It's a free gift of grace for God alone to give. Grace is getting what you don't deserve, and that's exactly what God gives through Christ. And to receive that free gift of grace, this free gift of salvation, the Bible says that we must receive it through faith. That is trusting that Jesus is the Son of God, that he lived a perfect life, he died in my place, and he rose again. And because of him and him alone, I am forgiven, I am restored to relationship with God, and I can have an everlasting life. So if you would trust in Jesus and put your faith in him, the Bible says, whosoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. So here's the invitation today is this, with no one looking around. If you'd say, today, I don't know Jesus, but I would like to put my trust in him, I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, I'm going to raise your hand as high as you can. Say, today, that's me. I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Raising your hand is not magic. It doesn't save you. But this is just a way, a moment in time where you can say, today, I choose Jesus Christ, and I put my faith in him. Putting your trust in Jesus doesn't mean you have the answers to all your questions. It doesn't mean that you've got life figured out. It doesn't mean you've got your act together. But what it means is that you are desperate for God to save you, and the only solution is Jesus Christ, because the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So here's your opportunity. One, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Two, the scriptures say it is for freedom that Christ sets us free. Three, if that's you, would you raise your hand? Say, today I choose Jesus. If you're joining online, you let someone know that's watching online with you right now that today you choose to follow Jesus Christ. You want to submit your life to him. So wherever you are, wherever you're at in life, I would encourage you, trust in Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. And for our Christian brothers and sisters who are joined with us today, wherever you are, please know God's word this year. Please dig into God's word this year. Please begin to see the world through the word. And if you need help doing that, let us know and let us help you, because without the word, you're going to be in darkness. So God, we thank you for this time that you've given us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Fellowship Church. Please consider supporting our mission by visiting us at fellowshipsalem.com/give.